This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back to another edition of the OHIO podcast. I'm your host, Buckeye Boggs. That man over there is the wild man, Chris Wiles. We will shortly be joined by In the Know JR. He is actually getting the scoop for us tonight. He says he's got some juicy nuggets, and so he will be arriving here shortly with those juicy nuggets to deliver to all of you. And we're thankful to have each and every single one of you with us tonight as we talk about Justin Fry and the offensive line. Chris, it's not that I like picking on the offensive line. It really isn't. I mean, I wish I could come in here and sing the praises of the offensive line. I really do. I want to do that. Hopefully this year I can do that. That's my desire. But, you know, I was watching Juck on Bucks the other night, and, you know, he was talking about Justin Fry. And it just got me thinking, you know, I need to do some digging on this guy and really look into some things. And so we're going to put him under a microscope tonight. We're going to talk about the offensive line. But we also are going to have some fun tonight because Chris has got a top 10 that I can't wait to show you. It is a very – Chris, it's an interesting top 10. You want to tell me top 10 real fast before we bring JR on?
So, because we love top 10s here, I decided to go ahead and – just put together a top 10 list of the greatest Buckeyes from the state of Ohio. The most iconic, not just the legends. Ohio State is just littered with legends, but the most iconic guys, those guys who have done either stuff on the field or obviously done it on the field at Ohio State, but either accomplished the highest level in the pros, done something after their career to transcend sport. Just make, you know, taking them to that next level. So we're going to talk about the 10 most iconic Buckeyes, and not just Buckeye football, but the most 10 iconic Buckeye athletes of all time.
Beautiful. You guys know the deal. Like, share, subscribe. That's going to help out the channel. So if you haven't hit that thumbs up button yet, please do so. You can catch us right here on YouTube. We're also being streamed live on Facebook right now. You catch us on over on our Facebook page at The Ohio Podcast. You can catch us on Twitter at The Ohio Pod, The OHIO Pod on Twitter. We're just being streamed live over there. And we're even on Rumble over there for those of you who don't like the YouTubes. Let's see who we got tonight in the house. Brian New York. He's in the house tonight. Says congratulations to the OSU Buckeyes Division II club baseball team. The defending national champions won the regional this weekend and advanced to the World Series. Go Bucks. I'll be honest, Brian. I didn't even know that we had a club baseball team.
But I love it.
I know we've got a Division I baseball team that's not very good, but, you know, we do have that. Heat. This sounds like – I don't know if I've ever read a comment from Heat before. Welcome in, Heat. Yes, and now he has Chip to cover his deficiencies. Ryan said recruiting is the number one, then developing for his assistants. That obviously does not apply to his friend Justin.
Ooh. He's not wrong.
Ooh.
He's not wrong.
Heat. Bring
the heat. That's right.
Billy Tuesday. This is Fry's last year to prove himself in recruiting and development. Day is becoming cutthroat. Friendship be darned. Billy Tuesday, that's what we're going to talk about. You got it.
Let's hope.
Our boy Coconut Dreams, go Bucks! Good to have you with us tonight, Coconut. Tyler is also in the house as well. I think this year we see the fruits of our labor, especially with Chip Kelly on the offensive line. There we go. Yes, awesome. We're going to talk about that. Will we see the best year of Justin Fry possibly? Ryan Wickerham, see you guys in 3 weeks. Talking about the camp. Ryan Wickerham's putting on. We're excited about that, Ryan.
Actually, I think he's talking about his nuptials there, Eric. The camp is for about 5 weeks.
Oh, okay. The wedding of the century. The Buckeye wedding of the... I got to know if Ryan Wickerham's wearing a scarlet and gray suit, right?
Maybe we can get Wargo to loan him his, you know. That bright red.
Hey, Wargo can do a wedding. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Jeremiah Yoder's in the house. Good to have you tonight with us, my man, Sean Strzok. He's with us tonight as well. Eric Osbeck is here. It's time to start the party. Good old Eric Osbeck with us tonight. Been with us since the beginning, man. Man, we have so many. And the chat's already fired up and going. So fantastic, guys. And Ryan Wickerham, you are right, Chris. He said it's for the wedding. And he answered the question about the scarlet and gray suit.
I'm proud, Ryan. I'm proud.
All right, let's not wait any longer. Let's bring him on. You know him as in the know, JR. We know him as keeping the ship riding straight. JR, what's happening tonight, man?
He's smiling, Eric. Yeah, he's smiling.
He told me, he goes, I got some juicy stuff. Hit us, man. Hit us up, buddy.
I want to wait until the second half of the show, after the commercial. I want to wait till after we discuss the Justin Fry stuff.
Okay. Fair enough.
Leave some suspense with it.
Okay. If you're talking about can you just at least answer me this? Does it have to do with Cruton?
Yes.
All right.
Not David Sanders though.
Oh. Oh.
That's why I want to wait until after the Justin Fry stuff, because I want to talk about that, and then we'll get to the other thing. I don't want to go in on Chris's iconic Buckeyes, but I figure it'll be some good news, but some short news before that.
Hey, okay. We'll make time, JR. We'll make time for you, man.
I got hair. I'm not Aaron, all right?
He said that because he read this. I don't know where he's at. I'll be honest, guys.
Wasn't he supposed to come back today?
Yeah. I haven't heard from
him. MIA.
MIA. I don't know. Said he was coming on. Then I didn't see him. So I don't know. Hopefully he's okay. All right. So let's talk Justin Fry. Let's do that. So like I mentioned in the opening, I was watching Jack on Bucks. Great show, by the way. Dude's very good. In fact, you've had him on.
Great guy, too. He's been on my show with The Voice of College Football. I've not been on his show, but just a great guy.
I will say this. He might have the best backdrop out of anybody, too. That thing is epic. It kind of looks a little bit like my Buckeye basement a little bit. Some of the stuff he's got going on there. But anyways, he was talking a little bit about Justin Fry, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and pop that balloon. Let's talk about it. I think Justin Fry, along with Ryan Day, because, I mean, we all agree that if Ryan Day doesn't get the job done against the team up north this year, he needs to be replaced. And if he doesn't do that, the only way he saves his job, in my mind, is going on and winning the national championship. But there are some who might argue that he might be replaced before he even gets the opportunity to do that. Because if he doesn't win that game, he's probably not going on to win a Big Ten championship. That being said, Justin Fry is a little bit attached to his hip now, a little bit. This is year number three of Justin Fry. Justin Fry is good buddies with Ryan Day. They're good friends. It's well documented. Justin Fry is another Chip Kelly disciple, if you will. What I know about Justin Fry is he's from the state of Indiana. So right off the bat, he might be better at basketball than football. If you talk to anybody, she's from the state of Indiana. Isn't that right, Dylan Kuhn? Your friend from Indiana, you're a basketball guy. But he played for the Hoosiers, and then he went on, did some coaching, and did a really good job as the offensive line coach slash offensive coordinator for Chip Kelly at UCLA before he came to Ohio State. I was excited when he came. I thought it was a good hire, but I was not, like a lot of the fan base, and down on Coach Strudava, or Coach Stud, as we called him, right? As I've documented on this podcast many a time, I had a great interaction with Coach Stud. He's a heck of a competitor. The dude just happened to have some physical ailments that prohibited him from going out and recruiting and really coaching that last two seasons like he really wanted to. And so did he need to be replaced because of that? Yes, he couldn't do his job. And he would be the first one to tell you, I wasn't giving 100% to Ohio State because I physically couldn't. That being said, I'll be the first one to admit, and tell me in the chat if you agree or disagree with me, I don't think Coach Stud was the problem when it came to the offensive line. He did a decent job recruiting, and I thought he did a pretty doggone good job developing. At least when you compare it to what Justin Fry has done. I think we've taken a step back from Coach Stud.
Step back.
So you agree with me, Chris?
Yeah, and if you remember when we first talked, Eric, you were much higher on Justin Fry than I was.
I was.
He came in, he said all the right things. And I think for a lot of people that was big. I don't know. I just didn't feel great about him. I didn't feel great about what he had done up to that point. UCLA had some success, but I don't feel that it was – I don't want to put this. I don't feel it was 100% Justin Fry's job that made UCLA run as well as they did. I think that was a lot of Chip Kelly. And then recruiting wise, I was very concerned about him on the recruiting path. And that's something that I think that obviously we've suffered on. I mean, let's get into it. I mean, seriously, let's ask. Where's our Orlando Pace? Where's our Corey Stringer? Where's our, you know, these guys who were just these mammoth guys who just beat everybody in their path? All Where's right. that killer instinct?
Okay. Well, first off, both those guys are Ohio guys.
Yes.
Okay. Do you get credit recruiting a guy from Ohio? In all honesty, you're expected to get that guy, though, are you not?
Yeah. You're expected to get him, but are we? Are we getting the best guys every year, year in and year out from Ohio?
We got Carter Lowe this year.
We did this year.
Yeah. You are expected to, but when Michigan is up like they've been lately, I think you get a little bit more credit, especially with the culture or whatever they got over there. That's just my two cents, though.
We're all kind of like, you did.
I'm not saying it's a great get. I'm just saying that it's a little bit more difficult when the team up north is doing
good and they're competing
well,
for your talent.
Is that really the problem? No,
it's not the problem every time, but look at Avery Gatch. I mean, no, that would have been a guy that we would have got out of Michigan, but because Michigan is up, we didn't get him.
Well, my question is this. Is the emphasis are the highlighters going on the offensive line, because in comparison to what they're doing in Ann Arbor, that seems to be where they're beating us the most, is developing offensive line talent.
Yeah,
is that so? It highlights the discrepancies we're having at the offensive line. You agree or disagree?
Absolutely.
I think. I do think that Ryan Day is a part of the problem in gameplay aspects. In the aspect of development, I don't think he is. I think that development is a Justin Fry issue. The gameplay, I don't like how much stretch we run. I wish we were running more zone. I think zone is easier, quote unquote, easier to block at times. And I think it kind of suits who we had a little bit better. But at the same time, you know, Justin Fry could also go to Ryan Day and say, dude, stop running stretch. So I can't put it all on Ryan Day, because at the end of the day, Justin Fry should be able to say, it's not working, let's change it.
Even though TTU and cheated, they dominated the line of scrimmage in the past. This is true. At least
they also knew what plays were coming.
That last 3 years.
Makes it easier, doesn't it, JR?
It does.
Especially on defense, though. Not offense, maybe a little bit. But
I think offensive line is where it actually makes the biggest difference. Offensive line and quarterback. Because think, you now know what twists, what stunts, what blitzes are coming. I mean, if you know it that well, which I think Connor Stallions was, he wasn't just trying to figure out pass or run, blitz or no blitz. I mean, if you figured out that well, if you're going in, I mean, I never played offensive line, but I had friends who did, and they told me that, like, stunts were one of the worst things ever, because you'd be set up for this one guy, and then all of a sudden, he and another guy would switch, and then you would have to communicate with the guy next to you. Think about it. You have two guys set up in front of you. You and the dude next to you both know, okay, these guys are going to stunt. They're going to go the other way. You have him. I have him. Because now you know who you have before this ball is even snapped. That's one of the reasons why you do stunts, so that way they don't know. Or you mess up their communication.
I'll take your word for it. Tyler, me personally, guys, a lot of it was poor play calling on the part of Ryan Day. In the running game, countless time we ran stretch to the boundary. Oh, my gosh, you're so right about that. That's going to get fixed this year. I really do believe that.
Oh, I
play
agree.
Calling issue. Jake, agree. We haven't had those dogs up front that want to mow people over. What about Paris Johnson Jr.? First offensive lineman taking the draft 2 years ago.
Wasn't he a stud guy?
Yeah. He was brought in by Coach Stud.
Justin Fry came in or inherited a first-round draft pick at offensive tackle. And we're going to supposed to give him credit for that? I mean,
no,
he's from Ohio.
No.
And Kevin Wilson, even after Stud, would have been the one starting his development.
But take it back to the beginning of this conversation. What did Chris? Who are the two names Chris brought up? Corey Stringer and Orlando Pace. Oh, and I said, aren't those Ohio guys?
Yep.
Paris Johnson Jr. Ohio guys. I personally believe. Go back to 2014. Look at how many Ohio guys were on that offensive line. I've been screaming this for years. Your offensive linemen in the state of Ohio are fantastic.
You look back, Eric. You look at a lot of going back even into the 80s and things. A lot of your great teams, your Nebraska teams, these guys had these Midwestern linemen. Midwestern linemen, not just Ohio linemen, but Midwestern linemen in general are a different breed. I love the linemen out of Ohio.
It's because you run the football in the Midwest.
You run the
cold
football,
weather.
You play in the cold. The elements don't bother you as a Midwestern lineman. And I think that's something that we've really lost. And now you look at it, and I don't want to defend Justin Fry here, but he's got to step up his game even more, because it's not just Michigan you're competing with now. Now you're competing with Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame. Now you're competing with Luke Fickle at Wisconsin. Now you're competing with Kentucky. You talked about them last week, Eric. You're competing with Kentucky, who's sneaking up into Ohio now.
Hey, and not
it's
only that.
It's a whole different ballgame. We have to secure the Ohio linemen.
And now you're competing against Oregon in the Big Ten, okay?
Yes.
How'd that go for us last time they came into the horseshoe? They ran it down our throats with one play over and over and over again.
Over, yeah.
Yes, Jake, I am a big proponent of recruiting in-state guys at the offensive line. And I know that that sounds easy, and I know that, you know, we get enamored with these high five-star offensive linemen from out of state, and some of them are worth going after. Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
And I don't know what juice JR is going to bring to us after the commercial break. It's probably an out-of-state offensive lineman he's going to talk to us about.
No, I already said it's not David Sanders.
It's an in-state offensive lineman?
Eric, leave him alone. He's trying to do what we call quarter-hour maintenance in the radio business. Eric, he's trying to keep people on the line. Keep him coming back every 15 minutes.
This is why he's called JR in the know. But Eric, that was piss poor defense on the part of Kerry Combs. Yeah.
Thank goodness he's gone.
Yeah, I agree.
I had a heart attack every time the ball went in the air by the other team.
Yeah. So let's look at this from the perspective of toughness, right? So Burks is in the chat and, I'll just take it straight at him. So, and I'm not afraid to admit that when it came to what was going on the line of scrimmage, the last 3 years, they have beat us at the point of attack on the line of scrimmage. That's how they've won those games. Ryan Day himself has said how many times we have to beat them running the football. The team who's tougher, who runs the ball better, usually wins that game. Tress mm-hmm. did it. Right? Urban Meyer did it. Now, Urban Meyer did it with several different ways. Did it with JT Barrett and et cetera. But I think that that's a true statement. If you're going to do that, if that's your recipe or your formula to beat your rival, then it starts up front. And last year, Chris, you and I, a year ago at the spring game, were saying, this is not going to go well. This is not going to go well at the end of the year because our offensive line is not on the same par as theirs.
Yes.
Take cheating out of it. You can talk about it. You can talk about Connor Stallions all you want, et cetera, whatever.
And JR,
you bring up a good point. But I'm telling you, just looking.
They were tougher, Eric.
The line of scrimmage, their offensive line was tougher than our offensive line.
Absolutely.
True or false?
Absolutely.
Who's responsible for that?
I would say the offensive line coach.
Justin Fry.
Absolutely.
And then above him, Ryan Day.
Ryan Day.
This is a problem number one. You know what? It's great we got Chip Kelly. And I agree his scheme is probably going to help the offensive line because of things like misdirection, the defensive line actually not knowing our plays, etc. I get it. But if we cannot win the line of scrimmage in that game, then it doesn't – like, none of this matters.
Right.
And so I'm – that's why I'm preaching this on May 5th. By the way, happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody. That's why I'm preaching that tonight on May 5th. That we have got to clean this up, and that's why we're putting the microscope on Justin Fry. This is your responsibility. You've got how many starters returning? Four? Three starters, plus we got one from out of the portal.
Transfer, yeah.
Literally five returning starters. Five guys who have at least 12 starts under their belt, right? And many of them have more. There's zero excuses this year. Zero.
But you're right, Eric. It doesn't matter. If we don't come out there and establish the offensive line, it doesn't matter if we had C.J. Stroud out there or anybody else at quarterback. You can't win if you can't win the line of scrimmage. Not in the big games. It's that simple.
I was looking up on PFF. And, you know, they give like a rating for pass blocking and run blocking. And Justin Fry's 4 years at UCLA, 2018 to 2021. His pass blocking rating, I guess you call it, never exceeded any of the Ohio State offensive lines. And his run blocking rating at UCLA never exceeded any of the Ohio State offensive lines. So
under Coach Studd.
Yeah, and I get the whole health thing, but man, I wish we had studs still.
So statistically, JR's even saying, it's not just what we're seeing. Statistically, we have taken that step backwards.
Oh, man. Oh, thank you, honey. Here's my dinner. that burns my soul. That's on Ryan Day.
Yeah.
That's on Ryan Day.
Which, what is crazy is 2022, after Justin Fry left,
UCLA
had a better run blocking rating than Ohio State. Pass blocking, they did not, but run blocking. So, great hire, Ryan Day, you idiot.
Stop it, JR.
Sorry. I was the guy that was saying after the Cotton Bowl against Missouri, you know, I don't know if those guys are here or not, but Skeeter and those guys, if you're here, you're welcome for that win, because Justin Fry gifted it to you. Because the dude literally went out there and started Matthew Jones so that he could have some NFL development for center. Sorry, I thought the idea at Ohio State was to win college football games, not to get somebody ready for the NFL. I love when they are drafted in the NFL highly, don't get me wrong. But if your job is to win the games, it's not like... That is the first job. It's not to get Matthew Jones more reps at center so that way he can get drafted. He didn't get drafted.
There's a reason why he didn't get drafted. That's it.
And he started for Ohio State for multiple years, and Justin Fry didn't get him drafted. So, great job, Justin Fry. Gosh, I can't stand that guy.
Man, this is hurting my heart tonight. Tyler.
The first year.
But, JR, how much is that going to be? Whoa. Man, this chat's on fire. But, JR, how much of that is going to be fixed with better quarterback play, running the football in misdirection?
How much better quarterback play could we get than C.J. Stroud had?
I was going to say, 2022 was C.J. Stroud, so I get the arguments for 2023. Don't get me wrong. And Ohio State did have better pass blocking rating than UCLA in 2022. I honestly think what it is that Ryan Day runs too much stretch. And I think that, you know, yes, we do have a good amount of Ohio offensive linemen, and that's great. But, I mean, if we're just being honest here, Ohio offensive linemen are strong and powerful. They are not the most athletic individuals in the world, which is fine with me. I don't think you need to have the most athletic individuals in the world on your offensive line. But doesn't work great for running stretch. I mean, You want those guys off the ball, hitting the other guys, punch right away, knock them back. I can't stand running to the side and then trying to hit and go the other way. When your momentum is taking you one way, you're supposed to lean and go the other way and hit somebody. Your momentum's already going the other way. You're working against yourself and the other guy. I don't get it. I'm okay with stretch every now and then, don't get me wrong. But when it's every single – I can't understand when it's every single time. I can't get it.
So I want to ask, Eric, we've talked about the past and the philosophy of Ohio State was built to compete for national titles, whereas Michigan was built to beat Ohio State.
Until last year.
Okay. Do we think the change in philosophy is partially to blame for what we've gone to on the offensive line?
Yeah. It's...
We need to get more back to a grassroots physical mentality?
Offensive line is a mentality.
It is. And I don't feel that we've got that physical mentality that we had in the past. We don't have guys who want to crap down your throat, you know?
I try to be super positive on this podcast, but I tell it like it is. I tell the truth. Last year, practice number 2, I was there.
Yeah.
And let me tell you. You told me
how much trouble we were in.
I told you. I told everybody. I came on here and I flat out told everybody, there's some things I don't like that I saw. Can I just be straight up honest with you? Our offensive line last year was soft.
I think that's given a benefit.
I saw it in practice. When you can't even do stretching, you can't even stretch at the beginning of practice without taking taking stretches off. I'm going to stretch and then I'm going to just, you know, or you know how you do, you do your leg raises and, you know, your suicides and everything through the line. I'll do it for 5 yards and then I'll just go for 10.
Well, didn't you say there was a certain tackle who was frequently taking plays off?
Yes, constantly. It upset me to no end. And some of those guys are back. And it's like, oh, they had great off season. That's great. I'm glad you can lift 5 more pounds. I'm glad your body fat's down another 3%, 4%. Lord knows I need to get mine down a lot more than that. But if you don't have it between the ears here and it's not in your heart, doesn't matter. Offensive line is a mentality. That is, so I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, and but I'm telling you straight up, guys, we're having a tremendous offseason. Yeah, your offseason national championships. I don't see any trophies in a trophy case that says you won a national championship for your offseason. They don't exist. Right. Okay? So what I am saying is this. If Justin Fry can't light a fire under their butts and we don't see a different physicality from this offensive line in those first 4 weeks, when we go to Eugene, Oregon, and we play the Ducks, do not be surprised if we get beat.
And if we do, Justin Fry should not be there for game 5. I'm going to say it right now.
I'm not against that either. I'm not against that. Let me know in the chat. Question. If we lose in Eugene, Oregon, should Justin Fry be fired?
If it did anything like that Missouri game.
JR, you agree?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, if it's anything like that Missouri game, yes. I don't think this is going to happen, but if the offense puts up 40 points and, you know, Lathan Ransom falls down again and we lose, you know, by giving up 50, then no, probably not. Then I think we're probably having a conversation about Larry Johnson then, but not saying we fire him, but.
I don't disagree with Rob right there. I said that from the go. He should have been the first guy out the door.
Him and Corey Dennis should have been holding hands.
Yep.
Skeeter, is this you? I'm assuming this is you. Let me know if this is you. What if you lose 65-53? Well, first off, that's not going to happen with this defense, I promise.
It's going to be the Utah game all over again.
No way. There's no way.
No, I know. I'm just saying, if it was that score, like, my heart would be racing like the Utah game.
All right. So Tyler said, honestly, yes, he thinks we should fire him. And then Tyler agreed with that. There's no way we're giving up 65 points. And this is Skeeter. All right, so we're going to about ready to take a commercial break. But before we do that, Skeeter is the host of the Woods Water Mizzou podcast. Some of you might remember we did a preview show with them before that terrible game down in Arlington, Texas, that will go unnamed and unmentioned tonight. And then we started the College Huddle, and we brought him on as our Missouri podcast for the College Huddle. And this past week, Skeeter had an accident and lost some of his toes and his foot. So, Skeeter, I want you to know we're praying for you, buddy. We love you, man. We appreciate you. You need anything, you got my number. And for those of you, we might – you know what we should do, Chris? Hold on 1 second. I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to see if I can do this. This is actually a good test. We're going to run a quick test tonight. I believe in Ohio State, and I believe in all of you guys. I know you guys are the best, man. In our chat, a lot of you are just great people. And I'm going to see if I can't do this real fast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here and put it in here. Did it work? I just tried to put a link in the chat. I don't know if it's going to work. It did. All right, cool. I just placed a link in the chat for the GoFundMe for Skeeter's family. If some of you tonight could drop a couple dimes his way, a couple bucks for his family. He's going to be out of work for a while because of this. And I'm sure that he would appreciate Ohio State Buckeye Nation coming and helping out his family. He's not asked for anything. Skeeter's not asked for anything. He just said, you know, could use your prayers. And those are definitely appreciated if you could do that. But if you could click on that link at some point tonight and go drop a couple bucks Skeeter's way for his family, I would appreciate that. From the bottom of my heart. He's a good dude. He's become a good friend of mine, even though he is a fan of a terrible school. So we love you, man. Appreciate you, Skeeter. Anybody who could do that, please do that. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then finally I'm going to get this news out of JR I've been wanting to see all night. The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com. All right, JR, you're up, man. What's up?
So I'm actually shocked that Buckeye Scoop didn't talk about this. I tuned in at the beginning of their episode because I was wondering if they were going to say this, but I think they're over, so we might have our scoopers in here. But I was told that one of the visitors from this weekend, Zion Grady, number 56 player in the 24/7 composite, number 4 edge rusher in the nation, 24/7 composite, and number 5 player in Alabama, 24/7 composite, has silently committed to Ohio State. So that he told Larry Johnson and his assistants that he loves Ohio State, that he wants to come to Ohio State, and that after his final visit, will be with Ohio State. I think that's the 21st of June is when they will do their final visits, and that he will be silent. He will be committing to Ohio State after that visit. Now, a few things with this. He's still taking his other visits. So, you know, if he was really committed, he would have just came out with it and said it and not be taking his visits. So, take a silent commit for what it's worth. I think it's good news. I don't think it's final news. But okay. Your guys' thoughts.
What's that saying? Silent just means that
I hate silent commitments.
I am normally not a big fan of them either, but if what I was told that he said to the staff is true, it sounds much better than a normal silent commit. So, I mean, basically what he told him is that not only does he love Larry Johnson, but if Larry Johnson were to move on at some point and one of these assistant pass rush specialists or whatever, I think Duhart, Clark are the two guys. There might be a third guy. I can't remember. But if one of those guys were to take over, he would love to play for them as well. So it sounds promising to me.
So what would you – are you willing to put like a percentage on it, or?
I mean, he's still got like 4 crystal balls in for Alabama, but
yeah.
Apparently, he told again, like I said, if all of this is true, he told Larry Johnson and his guys that Alabama doesn't want him, and so he wanted to go to Alabama, but Alabama doesn't want him. So what? I'm checking his 24/7 stuff right now because he told them he's not visiting Alabama. And I was like, that's stupid. He has 4 crystal balls in for Alabama. Alabama doesn't, they didn't invite him to visit. He's got one crystal ball in for Georgia. I think it's by some Florida State guy, so I don't know why he knows that. But apparently his top five is Florida State, Auburn, Tennessee, Georgia, Ohio State. And Ohio State gets the last visit.
That I always like having the last visit myself.
Yeah, I think last visit's always good news.
That, yeah, that's a you're right. That's a good news thing. So I was while you were talking, JR, I was working on those slides for you, Chris. We should be good to go there. Oh, please, Burks, please. I'm about to throw up. You're not delusional, unlike many fan bases, son. You are the most delusional fan base there is.
That's what he said. That's actually what he said. You're not delusional, unlike my
fan base. Oh, okay. I thought many. Sorry, I can't read.
I
thought
he said many, too, at first. And then I read it a second time.
I was ready to take offense to that. But
I still take offense to it because he put the word Michigan in there.
So this is from Skeeter. I've said it many times on our podcast that I don't put any stock into verbal commits. So many changes throughout a season, and who knows where we'll be with NIL come December. This is true.
And like I said, if he was truly, truly about it, he would cancel his other visits. But he's still taking them.
Well, but if you get paid to go on those visits today, why wouldn't you go get paid? I would. Free vacation and you get paid to do it. You're dumb nuts.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. Especially if your parents are hurting.
Coconut Dreams is asking about Andrew Stargell from Roswell, Georgia. I don't do crystal balls, but if I was gonna give a thought that somebody would go to Ohio State, I think Andrew is basically a lock.
So I've been thinking, loves
Ohio State.
So I've been thinking about this for a while, JR. This is a little behind-the-scenes shop talk for everybody. If the college huddle gets big enough to one day to where we actually have a staff of people and we can start talking about recruiting, you know how they drop crystal balls on, 247 Sports or whatever? I think, what does On3 do?
They have predictions and Fong bombs because Steve Wiltfong works for them now.
Oh, he does?
Yes.
Yeah, he switched over on April 1st. He posted it, and everybody was like, oh, no, this is an April Fool's joke. Yeah. It's like, no, it's real. What a terrible day for an announcement.
All right, so what are we going to call it when we put those prediction or crystal balls? We need to come up with something.
I don't know. I don't like crystal ball.
I don't either.
I want to steal that from 24/7 in prediction sense. Rivals does a forecast, which makes it sound like they're all weathermen.
JR's jelly beans.
Gonna put a jelly bean in, see?
Jelly bean in for Andrew Stargell to Ohio State.
How many jelly beans are you putting in?
It's like The Office where they put the beans on each person. This is how confident I am. Three beans.
All right, chat, help us out. We need to come up with something. If we're going to make a prediction for a recruit to go to a school, what should we call it? We can't use crystal ball, can't use forecast, and can't use prediction. It needs to be creative, and I'm not against it being absolutely funny. A Boggs...
Boggs Bagel. Boggs Bagel.
What? Oh, please. A Buckeye Boom? Could have... Put a boom in. Well, boom is when they commit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Buckeye ball. Guys, that sounds terrible. Come on. We can do better than that. Because that's only good if it's Ohio State. What if it's some to other schools? We're bewitching them? we're putting a bewitched in? Come on, chat. You can do better than that. There we go, Larry Daniels. He's putting money behind it.
A pigskin prognosticator. I love it.
That's the leader in the clubhouse right now.
Until the next bid comes in.
Yeah. He put $1.99 behind that bad boy. A money sign. Mike Bowers. Put a money sign in. Ooh. It's not a bad idea either. All right. So for the rest of the show, while you guys come up with great sayings that we can use possibly, Chris, would you like to explain to everybody what top 10 list you have put together? And you can start with honorable mention tonight. And I do have slides ready.
Oh, you did the honorable mention? I didn't do the write-up for the honorable mention.
Well,
oh,
you can talk about them anyways if you want. Otherwise, I can skip it. That's fine. You tell me what.
That's okay. We can do that. Yeah, so the top 10 list is comprised of the top 10 sports icons who were both Buckeyes and came from Ohio. Now, you know, Ohio is a hotbed of, obviously, athletic talent, from guys like Pete Rose and Ken Griffey Jr. to LeBron James. But I went specifically for those guys who took their talents to Columbus to hone their skills. So this encompasses not just football, but across athletics. Now, sadly, we had a few guys that really, and a lot of guys that I would have loved to put on this list, who I found out either were not from Ohio, did not play their collegiate ball at Ohio, what have you. So we're going to jump right in with number 10. And at number 10, I've got, well, that was our honorable mention. Okay.
That's fine.
Honorable mention, we did Mike Vrabel. Multiple-time NFL champion. You know, great player at Ohio State. Also had great success as a coach on the charity front. He was part of the developing team on the Second and Seven Foundation, along with your cousin Ryan Miller and Luke Fickle, that does things for, I believe it's a literacy program, is it not? And,
yep.
Yeah. So that was our honorable mention, Mike Vrabel. So let's go to number 10, which was Paul Warfield. Now, Paul Warfield, you know, tremendous accolades, obviously, through college. Won a national championship, first-team All-American, two-time first-team All-Big Ten. Went on to have a tremendous pro career. He played, obviously, with the Cleveland Browns, the Miami Dolphins, and briefly for the Memphis Southmen. Yeah, that was where he spent the 1975 season. But two-time Super Bowl champion, NFL champion in 1964, two-time first-team All-Pro, just a tremendous representative of the university. So I've got Paul Warfield in at number 10.
Can't argue with that. Not even going to try.
Number 9, here's a guy I wish I could have put a little bit higher. But, you know, the top of the list is pretty crowded, and that's Chris Spielman. You know, obviously Spielman had a great career at Ohio State, capped off by arguably one of the best performances in the game that we've ever seen by a defensive player, where he recorded 29 tackles against that team up north in 1986. Spielman had a great career at Ohio State, great career as a pro. After he left the game, after he left playing the game, which originally happened, even though his official retirement wasn't until 99, he left in 98 to take the year off to be with his wife, Stephanie, who was battling cancer, came back in 99, was only in preseason with the Browns before he suffered a career-ending neck injury. Spielman has gone on to do broadcasting, front office work with the Detroit Lions, obviously a very relevant guy in the field of sports as well. He was the co-founder of the Stephanie Spielman Fund, which obviously is for cancer research. And, you know, they originally started out, I believe, with a goal of about $250,000. As of 2023, which is the 25th anniversary of the fund, they've raised over $26 million towards cancer research in James.
So I have a question, Chris.
Yeah.
How much of what they've done off the field was a part of your decision making as to who you put in the
team? It was a major factor.
Okay.
But I think I tried to equally weigh on the field at college, on the field in the pros, and on the field or off the field after they left. Also, their relevance to sports today. And if you read the article I wrote, which will coincide with this, which hopefully we'll have up next week, I also even include some of their high school numbers in this.
Ooh, very nice.
Yeah. So we go all the way back a little bit there. So, Chris Spielman, number 9. Now, number 8, we got my guy. This is, I've said the Chris's are, you know, some of my favorite Buckeyes of all times. I got Chris Carter in at number 8. Carter, obviously a tremendous talent at Ohio State. A career cut a little bit short, obviously. He lost his eligibility his senior year. But nevertheless, you know, he won a Cotton Bowl and a Citrus Bowl with Ohio State 2 times. He was a Big Ten first-teamer, consensus All-American in 86. He won. He, of course, went on to be a 4th-round supplemental pick, oddly, of the Philadelphia Eagles. Kind of surprising he slipped to that spot in the draft, given what he'd done in college. But, you know, he had a great pro career with both the Eagles, the Vikings primarily, and then the Dolphins. He was a 3-time NFL touchdown receiving leader. Once he led the league in receiving yards, more importantly, 8-time Pro Bowler. He was a Walter Payton Man of the Year in 1999. You know, and that, of course, is given for your work as off the field and charity work. He also won the Bart Starr Award, which is given to people for excellence in leadership. He was a member of the Minnesota Vikings Ring of Honor, and he had his number 80 retired by the Vikings as well. Of course, in 2013, I believe it was, he was added to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and one of what I think was one of the most iconic, you know, Hall of Fame speeches I've ever heard.
Buckeye born and bred, be a Buckeye till the day I die.
Yeah.
Hey, do me a favor real fast.
Yeah.
Explain to everybody, because we had some people who've just popped in, and they're like, what are you guys listing here? So go explain again what top 10 you've made here.
Okay, so our top 10 is the top 10 most iconic athletes who were both born in the state of Ohio and attended Ohio State. They had to have met both those criteria to be eligible. So guys, like I said, like LeBron James, Ken Griffey Jr., Pete Rose, these guys are not eligible because they did not attend Ohio State. Likewise, we have players or athletes such as, I'm trying to think, our wrestler, Kyle
Snyder,
who was not born in the state of Ohio.
Oh.
So therefore, Kyle Snyder was eliminated from the list, although I definitely feel he would have been on the list had he been eligible.
Yeah.
So they had to meet those two criteria. It's not just football. It is all Ohio State sports.
And so since we just got started and we're only 3 in, I'll go back real fast.
Go ahead.
Number 10 was Paul Warfield, Hall of Famer. Number 9 was Chris Spielman, who's an Ohio State Hall of Famer,
yes,
and another NFL Hall of Famer, Chris Carter, number 8, which brings us to number 7.
Number 7. We leave the gridiron and go to the hardwood here, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
And that is for John Havlicek. You know, Havlicek had a great career at Ohio State. I believe he averaged, if I remember right, about 14.6 points a game. He was a national champion with Ohio State, of course, during the, 1960 season. So here's a guy who was a consensus second team All-American, a third team All-American, 2 times, you know, first team All Big Ten. So he had a good career, had his number 5 retired by Ohio State. Then when he really hit his stride, though, was when he got to the NBA. Of course, drafted by the Boston Celtics and a member of 8 NBA championship teams with those Boston Celtics. NBA Finals MVP in 74. He was a 13-time All-Star in a 16-year career. That's just amazing. Only 3 times in his career did he not make the All-Star team. 4 times he was a first-team All-NBA player. excuse me, five times all defensive team. Rookie, he was on the all rookie team his first year. And he also had his number 17 retired by the Celtics. So here's a guy who had his number, you know, retired not once, but twice. Interesting fact, after he left left the NBA, do you know what one of his major investments was with his money from the NBA?
Bitcoin.
No. Oh. He was one of the ground floor investors in the Wendy's fast food chain.
Oh, Dave Thomas. Wow.
Dave Thomas. Here we, you know, here we go. You know, during the formative years of the chain, he was a major investment. And, you know, that left him with some pretty comfortable income. He also was a chairperson for the Genesis Foundation, which assists kids with disabilities and genetic disorders. So he was active after his career with those endeavors as well. So number seven, we have John Havlicek. Uh-oh, there we go. Number six, Eric.
You
we're
got
going
it.
Back to the football field. And how can we not mention yeah. Bill Willis?
You had to, man.
I mean, this guy, obviously he's an Ohio State icon. He's got his own jersey. Not only was his number 99 retired, but then they, and you know, they created the Block O jersey to represent this guy for all that he did for the game of football. You know, not only was he an undersized lineman, but he was a great, you know, played that middle guard position, which a lot of people might think that sounds like an offensive line position. That was a defensive line position. Middle guard, kind of the precursor to the nose tackle a little bit. Kind of a hybrid between the nose tackle and the modern-day middle linebacker. But he played that position. It was only 202 pounds of playing on the defensive line.
Jeez.
You know,
that's a wide receiver today.
Yeah, exactly. But Bill had, you know, of course, a lot of accolades as well. And it's not just the accolades that are impressive with him. Yeah, he was two times first team All Big Ten. He was a first team All American in 1944. He's in both the Ohio State and Cleveland Browns rings of honor. But Eric, this guy was one of two guys, along with a fellow Ohioan in Marion Motley, who really broke the color barrier in professional football.
Right.
And they did this months before Jackie Robinson did it in baseball. They were original pioneers along with Jackie Robinson in kind of tearing down the color barrier in sports, professional sports. You know, as a pro, he was an NFL champion. He was a three-time Pro Bowler. But I think his contributions to the game, you know, are far more measured in the intangible than even what he did on the field, which by all means was great in and of itself. So number six, the Block O, number 99, Bill Willis.
Number five, Cardale Jones. Odysseus. No, I don't think so. Number five, you ready?
It would be lovely to have Cardale on a list somewhere because he did have the greatest three-game stretch we've ever seen.
It was amazing.
But number five, we're going to go back to the hardwood one more time. And how can you not mention Jerry Lucas? I mean, come on. This guy, 6'8", 230 pounds, was one of the original big men who could really play a stretch position, step out and shoot jump shots. You know, he was a two-time NCAA Final Four Most Outstanding Player, two-time Consensus College Player of the Year, three-time first-team All-American. Of course, he was a national champion on that 96 team along with Havlicek. You know, Havlicek, Lucas. There was some guy on the bench that used to, that ended up being a pretty good basketball coach somewhere else, as I recall. But, you know, that was just a stacked team. Was a two-time NCAA rebounding leader. Again, had his number 11 retired by the Buckeyes. And he went on to have a great pro career as well. Cincinnati Royals drafted him. He played for the San Francisco Warriors. And then ultimately for the New York Knicks, where he was a champion in 1973, seven-time NBA All-Star, three times first team All NBA. The guy just had a phenomenal, phenomenal career. And after his NBA career, you know, he was finally inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1980. He was a member of the 75th anniversary team for the NBA. I think his legacy is just that he was the original, I think the original stretch big man, Eric. I really do. He was the guy that led to eventually the Larry Birds of the world and the, you know, just his style of play. So number five, I've got Jerry Lucas.
Real quick, I was able to get that link shortened, and it should be in the comment section now, everybody, for
it is on me for
Skeeter. So it's there, guys. Again, real fast, for those who have joined, Skeeter's the host of the Woods Water Mizzou. It's a sister podcast for us at the College Huddle. He had a terrible accident. He runs a heavy machinery, and he had a terrible accident. He lost three toes and part of his foot, and this is going towards helping his family while he's laid up. If you could, you got a couple bucks you can donate for him, please feel free to do so. Let him feel the love of Buckeye Nation tonight. Appreciate it, everybody. You'll find that there in the comments section. I'll do it again right now just so that everybody's got it. So there's the link over to the GoFundMe for Skeeter. Thanks, guys. All right, number four, go for it.
Number four, we got a guy who was a pretty good running back at Ohio State at one time, and that is Howard Hopalong Cassidy. Now, is that your personal autographed picture there, Eric?
It is.
Is it? I kind of wondered. So, yeah, Hopalong, two-time All-Big Ten, first team. He was also a second team All-Big Ten selection in 53. He won the Chicago Tribune Silver Award, which was the precursor to the Big Ten Player of the Year, of course. Two-time unanimous All-American in 54 and 55. UPI Player of the Year. AP Male of Athlete of the Year. Maxwell Award winner. Heisman Trophy Award winner. National champion. When he went to the pros, he was an NFL champion as well. I mean, this guy kind of really did it all, and I feel was just a great when you think about the legends of Ohio State football, I mean, this guy ranks right up at the top of that list. So I have him in at number four. Now, before we get to number three, I would like to get some guesses out of the chat at where we may be going, because I'll tell you right now, we've got three guys in the top three, only one of them is a football player. And guys, that football player is not number one.
So I've been watching the chat. Several people have nailed number one.
Have they?
Yes. So
that's a little surprising.
And quite a few have nailed the next guy at number three. So, the chat is all over this.
Okay, well, at number three, we've got the Golden Bear, Jack Nicklaus. You know, Nicklaus, well, where'd we go?
Sean Strzok.
Greg Fry would be in our top 10 interviews of all time, Sean, but sadly, so, he's not on our list.
Dennis says it's going to be Archie, Jesse, and Jack. Maybe.
Well, maybe. So, yeah, Jack Nicklaus is number three. Nicklaus, of course, tremendous golfer, but he was also a great athlete in school coming up, Eric. He played baseball, basketball, football. You know, he actually had some interest from Ohio State about coming to the basketball program originally as a shooting guard.
Really?
Yeah. But baseball, basketball, football, tennis, track and field, he was everywhere. Of course, beginning at age 10, young Jack started playing golf, and he actually, by the time he had turned to 17, he had already, by the time he was 12, he began his run of five straight Ohio Junior State Championships. And by the time he was 17, he'd actually already had 15 championships under his belt. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yes, 15 championships under his belt. Now, you move on. While at Ohio State, Jack won two U.S. amateur championships. And also an NCAA title and a conference championship. Funny thing is, he left after 3.5 years to turn pro. Yes, that's right. That elusive last half year, Jack did not initially graduate from The Ohio State University. He later received an honorary degree. But as after he turned pro, of course, he went on to have 117 professional wins, which included 18 major championships, arguably the most decorated golfer in all of golf history. He is a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame. He's a 5-time PGA Player of the Year. He's won the Bob Jones and Payne Stewart Awards. He's got the PGA Lifetime Achievement Award. And guys, he is a recipient of the Congressional Gold Medal, which is the highest award that can be awarded to a civilian in the United States. So Jack Nicklaus, number 3.
Did you mention he dotted the I?
I did not, because I thought that might give you trestle nightmares still, Eric.
It does, but yeah. Yeah, he's one of the very few non-band members who's dotted the I.
So, number 2?
Number 2.
I told you number 1 was not a football player, so here is our football player at number 2. And is there any doubt? Could there be any doubt? You look at Archie Griffin. You know, he still to this day is Ohio State's leading rusher. He graduated in 1976. He is still Ohio State's leading rusher. I believe he's still fourth or fifth on the all-time list.
College football.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was all Big Ten, twice the Chicago Tribune Player of the Year, twice UPI Player of the Year, twice Sporting News Player of the Year, twice Walter Camp Award winner. Hey, Eric, do you know what else he did twice? He won the Heisman Flipping Trophy. Only guy in history to do that twice. You know, of course, he went on to be drafted in 76 by the Bengals. Had what would, I think, be considered by most as a pretty pedestrian professional career. But you know what? After his career, he came back to Columbus and has been perhaps the greatest spokesperson for Ohio State ever. You know, he returned. He was president of the Ohio State Alumni Association. He was a spokesman for Kroger's and their connection with the university. I know he does with he's with one of the insurance companies down there. He's one of their spokespeople down there. You know, just I think if you're going to start a list, this guy has to be right at the top. And honestly, I think there can only be one person rated above Archie Griffin on this list. And that is Jesse Owens. Now, I could go into all the accolades, but I'm going to keep it simple here with Jesse Owens. He broke 3 world records and tied another in one day. One day at the 1935 Big Ten Track Championships. In 1936, he gave Adolf Hitler and the Nazis the biggest
F you. Yeah.
Just gave him that finger by going fist. Over to the
he
Olympics.
Gave him the fist is what he gave yeah. him. Yeah.
By going over to the Berlin Olympics, winning 4 gold medals. 4. The 100 meter, the 200 meter, the 4x100 meter relay, and the long jump. Guys, what he did, as much as great as he was of an athlete, what he did for the social movement at the time, I think left him as the most iconic sports figure in Ohio history.
Oh, easily.
I don't think there's even a question.
what he did transcended sports.
That's it. And I used that actually in the article, that exact terminology.
Yeah. I mean, he, even though he was performing a sport, it transcended
the importance sport. Of what he did.
Yes. At that moment, like in moment in time is just, it's iconic. It really is. When you say iconic, that's where your head goes to, right? Yes. Like, absolutely, dude. Like that's, I mean, it's not even close.
And see, I think a lot, that's what a lot of this is about. I mean, you look at guys like Jesse Owens, like Bill Willis. These were guys that they're off the, I don't want to say they're off the field. Their presence on the field transcended so much in making not only sports, but society what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, that is truly iconic.
It is. Just as a great point, Steely. It's not just OSU history. It's American history.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. Now, Jack Nick, we as Ohio State fans, you know, we did a, was it 2 or 3 years ago we did our Mount Rushmore of Ohio State?
Yeah.
And we really struggled with the fourth one. Like, we had Jesse, Jack, Archie, and I think we ended up putting Woody on. But I said that there's an argument for Snyder, because what he did athletically was probably for Ohio State the closest thing we've seen to Jesse Owens. Not transcending sports into the political or war type of theater that Jesse Owens did, but just from the Olympic side of things as a collegiate athlete. But you bring up a great point in that, you know, how do you take off Woody Hayes and put him on? Or how do you take off
Archie Griffin
and put
Snyder on there? I couldn't even take Woody Hayes and put him in this list because he attended college at Denison. That's the reason that he is not on this list.
Yeah. Well, there's the same reason. But someone just said Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight was a good college basketball player. He was a
great coach.
Great coach. But that coach was at Indiana.
Yes.
Not at Ohio State. So, but, you know, that's another one. Because I actually brought that up to Chris, was Bobby Knight. Because
he was part of that 1960 team.
Yeah. Orlando Pace has actually got an argument.
He does, and I actually had it. If I would have extended out my full list, I actually came up with a list of 20 and narrowed it down.
I could say
he was Orlando, in the top 15. Actually, he was in the top 12.
I could put Orlando Pace on there. Who would I take off? Who'd you have at number 10 again?
Paul Warfield.
I'd take Warfield off.
I'd put Pace on over Warfield too.
Yeah, think about what. So Pace is he's a Hall of Famer, just like Warfield. He's considered the greatest offensive lineman who ever played the game, up there with like Anthony Munoz and them. Warfield's not considered the greatest wide receiver to ever play the game. And here's where it transcends sports a little bit. He created the pancake stat. He has a stat created for him. So Mike Bowers, I agree with you. I think I would put Orlando Pace on.
I can see the argument, but I stand by my list. I did have him in my original top 12, but
Jeremiah Yoder, when will one of you three dot the I in Script Ohio, buddy?
We're gonna need a lot more podcast followers to do that.
That would be the day.
That's gonna take.
You know
what
I would do? All right, here's what I would do.
Can you get your high step up there enough to do it, Eric?
No,
I can do it. I can get the knees up.
You've lost a lot of weight. You probably could do it. If I got the phone call that said, hey, the OHIO podcast is so popular, we want to make you the first podcaster ever to dot the I. The day that would happen, I would make sure Jim Tressel was there. And the moment that they were ready to put me out there, I would be
switch
like,
spots.
Jim, it's your turn, baby. Could you imagine the roar of that crowd when they saw Jim Tressel being led out to dot the I?
Absolutely.
That would be amazing. I would.
Totally it'd also be the last time that the OHIO podcast would be invited to do anything, probably.
Yeah. They're not going to invite us to do anyways.
I agree. Worth it.
Yeah. Steely. I'd pass. Boggs would pass out on the field. So would I. Yeah. Who, you know, other than Tressel, has Archie dotted the I yet? I don't think he's dotted the I yet either.
I know Bob Hope has.
Which is silly to me. I mean, I get it. He's iconic. You know, probably the greatest comedian from Ohio. But how do you not have Archie Griffin dotting the I yet? It's Jack, Bob Hope, Earl Bruce. They've had a couple like professors or something, I believe. And a politician, I believe, something like that. Maybe a former band director.
Okay, so the non-BAM members.
Woody. Thank you, Jeremiah. Woody dotted it.
It was John Glenn.
John Glenn.
But it was John Glenn, Woody Hayes, Bob Hope, Jack Nicklaus, and Earl Bruce.
Say it again.
John Glenn, Jack Nicklaus, Earl Bruce, Bob Hope, and Woody Hayes.
Five.
There's five non-band members who have dotted the I. And okay. You're right. It's an absolute travesty when you've got Woody and Earl up there that you don't have Truss up there.
Seriously. Why hasn't Archie dotted the I yet? In all honesty.
Like I said, he is the greatest representative this university has ever seen.
Hands down, easily. He's the only two-time Heisman Trophy winner ever. And he's not dotted the I yet.
But
and
I mean, then, even after that, what he's done for the university. You know, it's insane.
You had the perfect opportunity this last year. Perfect.
An opportunity that may never come around again.
Youngstown State against Ohio State. Jim Tressel's there. And Gene Smith can't let his stinking ego down for 1 minute and let the fans celebrate with their one of the most beloved coaches in Ohio State history. I'll never forget Gene for that. And this is one of the reasons why they won't let me be a part of the media, because on his little exit speech, I would have asked him, Gene, why haven't you promoted Jim Tressel to dot the I? Why didn't you do that last year? Like. Remember when he got all mad at the press conference when he fired Chris Holtman, and he got mad at what's his
Steve
name?
Hellwagon.
Steve Hellwagon. Steve Hellwagon's question was so like
it was not a hardball question. Yeah,
and he got all mad.
Did you guys see? We were talking about Juck earlier. Did you guys see Juck's episode today when he was talking about the Athletic article?
No.
Oh, you need to go watch it. He was talking about the Athletic article. I haven't actually read the article yet. I need to go read it. But apparently, according to Juck, Gene Smith brought some the Athletic representative, writer, whoever, in to do a full like interview with everybody, 100% transparency on like the entire NIL structure and how everybody got paid this year and how much people got paid. And, you know, basically the way Juck put it, basically it was one big fluff piece for Gene Smith. So that way, if Ohio State wins the national championship this year, he can say, I made that happen because I got NIL to do all this stuff, which, you know, we know he was probably reluctant to doing. Ryan Day probably went to his office and said, listen, buddy, not getting fired. So pay up. Stop building. Anyway, I don't want to talk about the sports.
Stop building buildings.
Yeah. Pay these kids.
Especially, you know, he's built buildings that in the next 2 or 3 years might be empty because we might not have those sports anymore.
Yeah.
Think about that for a minute.
Changing subjects back to Chris's thing. Chris, I have four guys I want to mention, and these are just a personal thing for me. I'm not saying they should necessarily be on your list, but if we're talking about great Ohio State Buckeyes from the state of Ohio, I feel like these four names have to be mentioned in addition to the ones that we mentioned. Andy Katzenmoyer from Kettering, Ohio. Also from Kettering, Ohio. Linebacker, high school, you apparently.
Katzenmoyer wasn't from Kettering.
No.
He was born there, wasn't he?
He was from Westerville.
He was born in Kettering, but he played at Westerville.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Trust me. Not high school. He played Mount Vernon, and he was done by the end of the first quarter. He destroyed us.
So, born here, linebacker U, I guess is the best way to put it, because A.J. Hawk, also born in Kettering, Ohio. Troy Smith, obviously, Columbus. And then this is just a personal favorite for mine, is Braxton Miller. I love Braxton Miller.
I mean, there's an argument. There was argument.
Oh, I'm not saying they should be on the list. I'm just saying
we could go on all day long with it. Ted Ginn Jr. How about we just name half the guys that played at Cleveland Glenville, you know?
Pretty much.
Ted Ginn Sr. there's other sports. Like, gosh, what's his name who played for the New York Yankees? The stadium's named after him over from baseball.
Nick Swisher.
Swisher.
What about Paul O'Neill? Grew up right there in Columbus.
Yeah, but he didn't go to Ohio State.
He didn't go to Ohio State, though. No, I don't think.
Swisher did.
Yeah,
Swisher's the greatest Ohio State Buckeye.
Swisher was the only baseball player I even considered for the list.
Yeah.
And I tried. You know, there was people I wanted to get on the list who, you know, sadly, like I said, for one reason or another, I just couldn't. You know, I wanted to try to get Aaron Kraft.
You know? My wife just posted, I just read an article that said Cooper and Tressel were both discussed, but then COVID hit. Discussed for dotting the I. First off, I don't know that Buckeye Nation would want Cooper to dot the I.
Could you imagine the mixed emotions if you had Cooper and Tressel dotting the I together?
Ugh. That sounds awful.
Isn't that GIF where the guy is like,
"Yeah,
yeah, that'd be me in the stadium."
So just back to the list. Here's one for you, JR, that I don't know if you thought about. How about Katie Smith? That was one I really wanted to try to get on the list too.
Mm-hmm.
To get somebody from women's basketball or women's athletics in general on there.
I was just thinking football, but yeah, no, for sure, Katie Smith.
So. A ton of people we could have added on this list.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Tons.
Or do the list. We could easily do it. I guarantee you, we could do a top 50 list and not run out of names.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to have some, fancy metrics with somebody putting together an entire list.
You know, I should have Eric create an algorithm.
Listen, Sean Schrock was like, hey, you need to do defensive backs. And I'm like, dude, I spent so much time doing that. I'm like, you got to give me a break, man. Like, I need my head hurts just thinking about that.
Running backs and tight ends are next week, right?
No, we're never doing tight ends ever, 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 never, never, ever.
Just going to anoint Ricky Dudley and go from there.
Yeah, no. No, when you think about sports in general, though, like Ohio State has been so dominant
in the Olympic sports
that it would be, I mean, trying to even wrap your head around doing the research for that would be unbelievable.
I still want to see the algorithm when you've got all sports combined. How are you going to compare the statistics?
I don't think you can. That's the thing is I just,
you would almost have to do each sport individually and then try to kind of weigh out the,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you could, but anyways, good show, guys. A lot of fun. That was a lot of hard work that you put into that, Chris. Thank you so much, man. That had a ton of research behind it. JR, thanks for the nugget tonight. I appreciate that, man. Looking forward to getting some booms here coming our way very, very soon. Make sure you go and check out the website, theohiopodcast.com. Just wrote an article about an offensive lineman who was visiting again out of the blue, a little impromptu visit from the number one offensive lineman from the state of North Carolina. Hopefully we can get him landed here this summer. Of course, you will be seeing a lot of great articles come your way, especially in the recruiting department there on the OhioPodcast.com website as recruiting begins to ramp up this offseason. We'll have all kinds of great content for you this week. Make sure you're checking out the YouTube channel. Chris and I, JR, myself, hopefully we get Aaron back soon. So that we can continue to pump out some great content for you guys, some great videos. I was all prepared to do a border war video with Kentucky, and then things didn't work out with the host from the Kentucky show. And, oh, my gosh, Sarah.
Yeah, Boggs. I saw it. That's what was making me laugh.
Sarah Boggs, sleeping on the couch tonight.
Sarah, honestly, if I was going to do that, it would have been AJ over Bobby anyhow. So
that's right. That's right. You know, it's funny. If you go to my wife's office at work, she's got a picture of me, a picture of our dog, or her son.
And Bobby Carpenter.
And Bobby Carpenter. she loves her some Bobby. Who doesn't, though,
that's right?
Right?
Who doesn't?
I can't blame her.
He's a handsome man. Anyways, great show. Make sure you check out the website this week. Make sure you come back to YouTube. Check out all the great videos. We'll be back Thursday night for another live call-in show. We had a great time this past Thursday with the chat.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, look at this.
There's wow. Hope Peter for Stevie yet.
O-H.
Gotta hit him with it, Eric. Skeeter. Come on. Hey,
just for you, Skeeter, M-I-Z. You guys know how to answer that?
No.
It's Mizzou. It's so you got to answer ZOU. So that's their little OHIO. So anyways, thank
ours
you, Skeeter.
Catchy, I think. Awesome.
Oh yeah, by far. Yeah, by
no far. Offense, Skeeter.
Although I did see where Buck was complaining to him about Missouri stealing their block cam. Everything is revolved around that team up north. The whole universe is centered around.
Well, you know, Eric. You know where Script Ohio came from, right?
It actually did.
It did.
It did come from them. Oh, that is true. All right, guys. A lot of fun. Appreciate all of you. Thank you so much, Scoopers, for coming in, jumping up the numbers tonight. A lot of great content tonight. Appreciate all of you. Have fun this week. Remember, be kind to one another. I owe so much OH. Send Carmen, Ohio with all your heart. Till next time. OH!
I owe.
Go Bucks.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.